He's out of your prayers for a little bit this afternoon. I feel the weight of responsibility, and I hope we all do, to understand that it is our duty to teach others through precept and example. I think it's of utmost importance that we be the example the Lord would have us to be. I have a few thoughts. That's kind of what I've entitled this afternoon, a few thoughts on the church. Church is something Jesus purchased with his blood. It's an institution. Church is called out to glorify and honor God, to be examples and to be lights in this world. So just a few thoughts this afternoon on the church. We can go back to Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. He says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, that I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb and the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, without iniquity. Just and right is he." I want to focus mainly for this particular scripture on the second verse that we read. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew. You can buy all kinds of water. One of the waters that you can buy is distilled water. So he said here, my speech shall distill as the dew. The dew is something that we know that comes overnight, and it's water upon the grass, upon the flowers, upon the plants. No rain caused that, but it's distilled, it says, as the dew. I want to read you a definition of distill, to distill something. To take the most important parts of something and put them in an improved form. To extract the essence from something. To appear slowly or in small quantities at a time. Distill. Distillation is a slow process, but the Lord's telling us here that sound doctrine can distill. Sound doctrine can bring out the essence. It can take the most important parts of God's Word and put them in an improved form. Sound doctrine may appear slowly, as the definition says, or in a small quantity at a time, but it is something that is distilled. Distillation takes time. It takes time to work. It's a process that's put upon, for instance, water, to take out the impurities and the things like that. Once they take out the impurities out of the water, sometimes they add minerals back into it. But distillation is a process. As I said, these are a few thoughts that I have on the church. So I will speak of this here from time to time as we go through this. Every group of people are said to be a movement. You've heard of movements when it comes to the church. A movement is the work of the Lord within the church. A movement is the work of God within the church. God's work. And a movement can only prosper as long as it shows forth God's praise with sound doctrine. In other words, as you and I get saved and we begin to take the truth, as we begin to understand it and begin to apply it in our lives, it begins to distill in something in us and brings out the very essence of God's Spirit within us, that we may be vessels to honor Him, that we may be the church that God can use and that will glorify God here on this earth. A firm grasp of the Scriptures produces by God's grace a sound life. If you would, maybe it would help to think of the Apostle Paul when he founded different congregations over in Asia, when he was out among the Gentiles and in the work of the Lord. It was his desire that the congregation would get rooted and grounded and settled. It's a distillation process. It isn't something that happens overnight, but it is something that takes time. But it's meant to bring about the very essence of what salvation really is, what it really means to the heart and to the soul and to the mind of men and women. Christ-centered teaching will minister to every aspect of a human being. I don't know, this may be a little broken up a little bit, these thoughts, but these are thoughts that pertain to the church. And I hope that the Lord will put these things together in our minds and in our hearts. Christ-centered teaching, putting Him in the center, making Him the focus, will minister to every aspect of the human being. In other words, the Word of God in teaching Jesus Christ will be everything that you and I need. It'll be everything that you need. I don't have to go outside the church. I don't have to go out into the world and bring in sectarian things. But I can stay right in the fold of the church and teach Christ, and everything of Christ that we teach will minister to every aspect of the human being. It'll supply our needs. It'll fulfill our needs. In order for the church to truly prosper, competence of the Scriptures and Holy Spirit anointing must work together. It isn't just understanding the Scriptures or getting an understanding of the Word, but it is that plus the anointing of the Holy Spirit working together to bring about this distillation process, to bring us to a point of sweetness, to bring us to a point of understanding, to bring us to a church that has great faith and great power, that there would be great glory manifested to Jesus, who's the center of it all. All right? Let's turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. The Bible speaks about sound doctrine and having a sound mind, and that's kind of like what we want to understand here this afternoon. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy, the second chapter and the first verse. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I don't want you to forget the thought of distillation, where God is working with each and every one of us to take out the impurities, the old life that we used to have that we heard about this morning, and He's trying to bring out the very essence of the Spirit of Christ in our lives. That's what He's endeavoring to bring out. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You know, you've heard the old saying, there's a right way and a wrong way to do something. Some things, there's different ways of getting it done. But generally, there's a more efficient way, and there's a better way of doing something. And as Jesus begins this, as God begins this distillation process, begins to distill you and I, to bring out the impurities, to bring us to the place where we can really glorify Him, where He can be pleased with us in everything that we do in our life. He said, be strong in grace that's in Christ Jesus. In the church, of course we're talking about the church of God, we are liable. I want to lay this little foundation here. We are liable to one another. We're liable to one another. We have been made by the Word of God accountable to one another in the church. He said, no man warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And he told us to endure hardness. So, as we consider this thought of being liable to one another, few thoughts here on the church. I want to turn over to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. You know the scripture well. In verse 16, from whom the whole body, the whole church, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. We all have a duty here, don't we? And if we're not filling our place, something is lacking. Amen? If we don't fill our place that the Lord has called us to, something is lacking in the body. It slows down the distillation process. Because we rub each other. We work with each other. Testimonies and your trials that you testify to and vice versa. These work for our benefit and our good, and they minister. We minister to each other by those testimonies. A firm grasp of the scriptures produce God's grace in a sound life. Now, he said here again, we are fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, the distillation, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know that love has to be there, folks. Because love is the essence of God. It's who God is. God is love, isn't He? So the love has to be there. People, we are bound together in the church. We are attached to those in our care. Now you may struggle with this a little bit. We are attached to those in our care, whether they're following or whether they're rebellious. We have a responsibility to our fellow man, to our brother. Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You see how this process comes about? It's not an overnight process, is it? But it's a day-to-day process. It's a time of us coming together, mingling ourselves together, mingling our spirits, mingling our prayers, mingling our voices in song, and testimony, and encouraging and ministering to one another. This is how this all comes about, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. It's up to you and I to see to it that the Spirit of God is working in me, that the Spirit of God is working with me and in me and on me. It's up to you. So we are attached to those in our care, whether they're following or whether they're rebellious. These are the kind of things that should give us a burden for souls, for others. When we see something that looks like it may be a problem, that someone is struggling or someone has an issue, we need to remember to pray for them and endeavor to uphold them and encourage them as much as we can. Remember what Jesus said to Peter. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" Folks, do you love him? We love him, don't we? He said, "Feed my sheep." We are to voluntarily surrender our lives for others. And I don't mean that. I'm not talking about dying for others. I'm talking about giving our time, giving our lives to others. When we see that if the Lord shows us that we can be a blessing and help to fill a need that someone has, we need to give ourselves to that. That's what Jesus did. Isn't that what Jesus did when he was here? He surrendered his life for others, didn't he? This is all part of that distillation. Now Peter tells us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. Grace that God gives us is to keep pace with the knowledge that we have of the Scriptures. Because you and I cannot live out the Scriptures in our life without the grace of God to do it. No one can. There is to be no schism even in a small body. And when there isn't any schism, God can do his work in that body. No matter how small it is. No matter how big it is. If there's no schism in the body, God can do his work. He can work on the distilling process, if you will, of the body or of the church. When you and I are dealing with our fellow man, start in your heart first. Start in your heart, not in your mind. Don't get things fixed in your mind. I need to tell this one this and that one that. Start in your heart first. And always consider yourselves. That's what Paul said over there in Galatians. Considering yourselves lest thou also be tempted. So in dealing with one another and bringing this process of the church to a level where it's pleasing and glorifying God and people being filled with the Holy Spirit, people having power with God, people have giving glory to God and praise to God, there's a lot involved in it. There's a lot of work to be done. When you're dealing with one another, start in your heart first. Avoid judging. I don't know of anything that people are more susceptible to. They seem to like to judge. They seem to see something someone else is doing and they want to judge them by it. But I want to remind you of something. There are some folks that are moving toward the light. And you and I need to have patience. They may not have the light that you have. But they're moving towards that. And we need to have patience, and we need to bear and forbear until the Lord brings them to the light and understanding that maybe you have. That's how the body works. Fitly joined together according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Not everybody, sad to say, is moving toward the light. Some folks may be moving away from it. Some folks may have had understanding and they're going back and walking back a light. That happens, doesn't it? We don't want to see that happen. But if it is happening, and if the Lord reveals it to us, we certainly need to be praying for them. And we need to get under a burden for them. I believe that if we have enough love in our hearts for our fellow man, it'll help us to bear and forbear until more light is revealed. We must always remember that we don't know everything and that all things must be taken in consideration. That's what God does. When He's judging you and I, He takes everything. He takes our actual action and He takes our actual intent. Sometimes we do things, I didn't intend to do that. I didn't intend to say that. So we'll leave all this judging up to God, won't we? Because He knows how to judge a man's heart. In all of this, in the church, the Holy Spirit helps in every bit of it. The Holy Spirit has a part in every bit of it. So we give God time to reveal more light to our brother or our sister. You know, a classic example in the Bible, it's a process, always at work. You understand what I'm trying to say here this afternoon? It's a process. Distill. He said, my word will distill as the dew. Peter didn't have light on the Gentiles, did he? Peter was a man that stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached the first message on the day of Pentecost. God blessed it. God anointed it, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. But he didn't have light on the Gentiles. But then that's when God let down the sheet. And he showed him the four-footed beast and all these unclean animals, and he said, rise, kill, and eat. Peter struggled with that. But God gave him light and understanding. Sometimes we got to wait. Lord, help us to walk in the light that we have and give others opportunity and time to walk in the light that God will reveal them. Because every honest soul will go towards the light. They'll go towards the light. And you and I just have to have patience. We're fitly framed, joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. That makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. And we surely, when we come to service or whatever we do, even in a social setting, we want to be edified one of another. We want to be lifted up. We want to be encouraged, don't we? Now here's something you might not have thought about. If you allow yourself in dealing with your fellow man, if you allow yourselves to believe in partial evidence as a congregation or as an individual, you will not be able to stand together in unity. We must be careful when we just have a part of the story and we make our judgment upon that. One old brother said, if you tend to believe in partial evidence. When you go through your hard, difficult battles and trials, you'll partially believe the Word of God. So we need to have all the evidence. Wait until the verdict is in. We need to have all the evidence. And basically, let's just leave the judging to God Himself. But importantly, as we deal with one another, have solid ground in what you believe. Solid ground. Be sure you have all the evidence. Not just what, well, I thought I saw this, or I thought I saw someone doing that. No, we need solid evidence. We need to have solid grounds for what we believe as we deal with our fellow men. Matthew 13. 13th chapter of Matthew. Familiar scripture over here, Jesus teaching in the 31st verse, Matthew 13 and 31, 32. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took, and he sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, after it's been distilled, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now Jesus is telling us here that the mustard seed is the least of all seeds. This is where the distillation takes place, right here. This is what causes the seed to develop and to grow. The kingdom of heaven, God's church, God's kingdom here on this earth is like a grain of mustard seed. This seed and this distillation process, distilling process, will not ever exalt the flesh. It won't do that. It will always exalt God. It will always lift up God. But this is where the distilling takes place. This seed is not a perennial. It doesn't reach full growth in 2 or 3 weeks. You understand what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? We've got to give each other grace, room, and love, and show gentleness and kindness to one another to give each other opportunity. They may not see something the way you do, and that's why they're doing what they're doing. But if they're moving towards the light, folks, they'll see it. The Holy Spirit measures us, everyone, up the same way as we come to the light and understanding. But it takes time for every one of us. It takes time. And you and I must give the Lord time, and we must give them time to get established, to get rooted and grounded and settled in the truth. The mustard seed, the man took it, the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs and becomes a tree, and the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. That's what God wants to see from His church. That's what God wants from His kingdom that has been planted here on this earth. This is what Jesus died for. This is what Jesus shed His blood for. He purchased it, the scripture says, with His own blood. This is what God wants. You and I have to take great care in dealing with one another. Great care, great concern because of our love that we have for one another. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? You know, He asked him that 3 times, didn't He? Peter said, Lord, You knowest all things. You know I love You. And He said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. I guess as you look at the way it's laid out in the scriptures, Jesus surely had to show a lot of patience with Peter, didn't he? Well, I can tell you, for over the last many years, the Lord's had to show a lot of patience with me too. Some of us are slower learners than others. Everybody don't learn on the same level. Everybody don't learn on the same plane, folks. So we give time and we give opportunity. Lastly, I'm not going to make this long. The church has two duties, two main duties here on this earth. The first one is to establish righteousness. By that I mean to define itself. We define ourselves by the doctrines that we teach. The proof of the doctrines is in the individual. If the individuals are not living according to the doctrine, they're not proving out anything. The church is to establish righteousness. Not our righteousness, but the righteousness of God. The church establishes the standards and the boundaries for the people in that church. The people in that assembly. The people in that kingdom, let me say it that way. Fitly framed together, joined together. The church is to establish righteousness or define itself. This is who we are. Who was it? Peter or John? One of them said, be ready to give an account. This is who we are. This is what we believe. This is why we believe it. This is what the Bible teaches. All this process brings about a beautiful, glorious church. Church that lifts up Christ and is a blessing in this world. The first one established righteousness. The second one, the second duty of the church is to be a comfort to suffering mankind. Our world is full of those that are suffering. That was the keynote of Jesus' ministry, was compassion. That's how he reached out to people. He wanted to teach them something so badly, if I can say. He came to teach. He came to instruct. He came to show people a new and a living way. A better way. But how did he reach out to the people? Through compassion? Through love? Through mercy? That's one of the duties of the church today. To be a comfort to suffering mankind. And folks, You couldn't get to the end of this block. If you went from house to house, and you would probably find so many suffering people. So many people with heartaches, sadness, and sorrows. You would hear all kinds of stories of sadness and terrible things that people are dealing with in life. You wouldn't get one block out of here. You'd hear a lot of them. So that's one of the duties of the church. When the Lord puts something like that in our way, it's our place to reach out to them and show compassion and show mercy and show love in any way that we can. But we got to have something on hand to give them, don't we? That distilling process has been at work in our lives. It's been at work in our salvation. It's been at work as God deals with us and we deal with God. That distilling process has been at work. So now we have something that we can reach out and give to others. What'd Peter say? Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give unto you. That's what we have, folks. People think they need a lot of money. People want money. People are destitute for money. People don't have enough money to make ends meet, to buy groceries, and pay their bills. But folks, what they really need is Jesus. What they really need, and that's what we can offer them. We can offer them Jesus. My last scripture by the help of the Lord is found in Isaiah 60th chapter. Isaiah 60. Verse 11. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. Folks, the gates of the city is always open. The church is always open. It's never closed. The church is a hospital. The church is a place where healing comes of all types. The healing of the mind, the healing of the soul, the healing of the body, the healing of emotions, the healing from sin. It said here again, therefore thy gates shall be open continually. Always open. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee. The fir tree, the pine tree, the box together to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Saints, be encouraged. Hold on. The world thinks they got the answers. They think they got all the answers. They think they know what all of this is really about. What is life all really about? We have a kingdom, the city of God, and the gates are always open. And it's up to you and I. As God works this distilling process upon our hearts and in our lives, that we'll be in a place that we can be there for others. To be there for others. That's really important. I know today it's hard to get people to understand and realize what you really need is Jesus. If you would just get to know Jesus, and if you would really get him in your heart, doesn't it say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good? If you just taste Jesus, really get a good taste. You know, there's all kinds of jelly out there. I don't know why I thought of this. There's all kinds of jellies out there. Grape jelly's pretty popular, isn't it? You find grape jelly about everywhere. You know what I like? Oh, I like black raspberry jelly. Black raspberry, nothing like black raspberry jelly when it comes to jelly. Folks, there's nothing like a sweetness. There's nothing like something that is so precious than tasting Jesus. That's who you and I are to promote today. So as we go out of here and go on with our lives, let's promote Jesus. Let's lift him up and let's keep our hearts open and our minds open. Lord, what do you want to do with me? You want to bring out the essence of your love in me. That's distillation. The distilling process. Him bringing out the essence of himself in me. That's what we want, isn't it? That's what I want. So may the Lord help us to seek him with our whole heart. He said if we sought him with our whole heart, we'd find him. So let's seek him with all of our hearts. Appreciate your time and attention.